for our countries.
Also, Paul and her husband too.
Amen. If you can kneel, please go ahead and kneel with me before the Lord in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the richness of your love and the richness of the gifts that you have given us mentally and physically and spiritually and socially, emotionally, academically, financially. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for continue to giving us knowledge to edify us, to sanctify us and make us holy, thine, to protect us and to deliver us from every evil within and without. We thank you for the Sabbath day, and we thank you for the ability to hear and to see and to speak, to sing and to pray, and to use all our gifts for our own blessing unto salvation, the blessing of our families, your church, and the world. For the prayer request mentioned, be his friend, and great many other people who are in presence, I pray that your Holy Spirit, who understand why they ended up in prison, continue to work upon their heart and mind and soul to deliver them from every evil and from every stronghold of sin. Deliver them, Lord, as you have delivered many already. And now they are servants of God in many churches. May you touch B's friend, that her heart be changed. And may you protect them all from every evil. And I pray for all of us who are imprisoned to one form of sin or another. Mm-hmm. In our heart, in our homes, in our communities, in the church, and in the workplace, and in every city, state, and nation. Lord, we need deliverance. May your Holy Spirit move like a mighty rushing wind upon all nations to convict them of their own sins and the consequences of their choices and decisions upon them, upon their families, and upon their communities. May you also convict the heart of your own love in righteousness and the ways of life and blessing that can come through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may all of those who desire such a life, O Lord, be redeemed and saved and delivered and changed, be provided for and cared for, and be protected and delivered from the evil one, to become children of the kingdom and joint heirs with Jesus. I pray for your church worldwide, that you put your everlasting arms around it, that you shield it from the bombardment and the storms of evil on this earth. Secure our salvation and life eternal. And may you guide us by your power to use every gift given us for the salvation and the blessing of somebody else. Now I pray that you guide us unto all truth. Show us your heavenly ways through the knowledge of life imparted to us by your wonderful counselor, the Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us open together the book of Acts, chapter 1, and I want to give you a little background about that book. We have been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Can you mention some?
Oh, everything.
Love.
Love.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. Very good.
Preaching.
Utterance. Utterance.
Interpretation.
Interpretation of tongues.
Teaching.
Multi languages and tongues.
Administration.
Teaching. Administration.
Prophecy.
Prophecy.
Healing.
Healing. Miracles. Are you okay? All of these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And for us to receive those gifts, we have to receive the Holy Spirit in our heart.
I forgot one. Exhortation. That's exhortation. That's another one.
Exhortation is encouragement. Very good. And it is something that most of us cannot live without. Okay? We all like to be encouraged to make sure that our life is somehow significant to somebody.
True.
Okay? We cannot receive those gifts until our heart is cleansed from our sins. And unless we invite the Holy Spirit to sanctify and make holy our heart and mind and soul, and to make us children of the Most High God. As we have seen in the church, and in the book of Acts, it shows a lot about that, and I already preached about that, that Satan have agencies in the church as well. And if you look the book of Acts, and if you look at the life of Jesus in the four Gospels, you will see Satan have very strongholds in churches. To disrupt the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's people. So it is quite serious that we examine our own heart and mind and soul and ask the question, which spirit is in us when we assemble before God? I have served in churches and I had at times a mean and a bad spirit. Yes. And I went to churches sometimes for the wrong reason. Until the sweet Holy Spirit of God in time convicted me of my sin and showed me how it is so detrimental to me first, and it is detrimental to others, and then helped me be released and delivered from that bondage. I want to be set free. And Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That is not just the knowledge of salvation through Jesus' name, but the knowledge of my own condition. And then my desperation to be delivered. So it is a condition. If we are to receive any gifts, we have to receive the Holy Spirit within. If we are to receive the Holy Spirit within, we have to confess our sinful nature and our need of cleansing and deliverance every day. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Unless a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So God has given us gifts. And I'm very grateful that all of us are here. We will not be able to be in the presence of Jesus in such a comfortable state if the Holy Spirit is not in us. I did serve in churches where the spirit of demon came upon the people who are possessed. And it's more than one person in one place. And they went into convulsion and screaming, exactly like the days of Jesus. And they spoke in voices that is not their own.
Wow.
Just when we began to pray and lift our heart to the Lord Jesus, and when we began to sing, the devil could not stay still. So I'm very thankful that we did not reach that state. Wow. That we have yielded our heart and mind and body and soul to the power of the Holy Spirit to finish the work of holiness and righteousness that He began in all of us. You know, my suggestion and recommendation to all of us, regardless of our struggle with sin, don't spend a day without asking the Lord to forgive, to cleanse, and to sanctify. Just think of that coffee mug. Just think of it.
Yeah.
You drink the coffee, and there's muck in the bottom, and you don't clean it. And you pour more coffee the next day on it. And you don't know what kind of viruses, what kind of sickness is ready there. And let us say you pour that second cup because you were too lazy to clean it. And you don't know what ants, what roaches, what went in and came out. And here is another cup of coffee. And you drink it. And maybe at this time your immune system is strong enough to fight that little virus. And then you decide not to wash it again. Eventually, sooner or later, It catches up with your immune system. And trust me, if you don't spend time daily in prayer, it catches up with your emotion, with your state of mind, and with your body. Our state and the outcome of our life is all connected to our spiritual health and well-being. And that is the reason why I did not become a clinical psychologist. You cannot deal with the brain unless you deal with the state of the heart. That's what Jesus said. Out of the hearts are the issues of life, not out of the mind. The mind receives knowledge. The life, the heart decipher it and decide exactly how to go about this knowledge. In the book of Acts, you know, many of the theologians really were debating whether to call it the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I prefer, after I have read all the book of Acts several times, this book should be entitled Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it shows the process that we have been preaching about. When the Holy Spirit comes in, what happened to the individual? What happened to the family? What happened to God's church? And what happened to the state of the world? The book of Acts shows us the power that the Holy Spirit can be manifested in individuals and in His church and through His church to others. And it's amazing because it does not discriminate between educated or illiterate. It used them all the same. And this book is written by the same servant of God who wrote the Gospel of Luke. You know, it is ironic if you read Luke verses 1 to 3, and if you read Acts 1 to 3, you will see same names written in it. Same approach of the same apostle. Now, let us read together to see what happened now after we have studied all of this. We have studied that a person needs to be born again of the water and of the Spirit through earnest, daily, humble prayer. And then an individual should be praying for the Holy Spirit to take over his and her life. So what happened when we do that? What happened to the individual, to the family, and what happened to the church? Now, we're going to see in this story, we're going to read some verses in Acts 1 and 2 to put all things together so you would know what's happening in your life today. And so you would know what God desired to give you and to do in your life today, and that you may know what the Holy Spirit wants to do through your own gift and to great many people in the world today. You will also know, if you do not yield your heart and mind and soul as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, you don't have to be a prophet to know what you will lose. God have already showed us the expectations. That's the gift of prophecy. And I don't have to really make any prediction. The Bible made all of this prediction clearly and showed us through many examples. If we don't use it, we lose it. And not just we lose it, but we lose our soul. Many of the singers and the musicians in the world today started in church.
That's true. Whitney Houston.
My friends, be warned and yet be prayerful. Be careful and be prayerful. Many of the gifts that the Holy Spirit have given started in church. And Satan managed to take it over. Until these individuals lost their soul, they continued to sing. In the world, for the world. And Jesus said, what a man shall profit if he gained all of these millions and palaces and things and lost his own soul. And they were not happy with who they are. They were not happy with anything that they have. They got the fame, they got the money, they got the prestige, they got everything. but they couldn't sleep at night. They had to take heavy, heavy drugs. And their end was not good. So you don't just lose the Spirit of God and lose the gifts of God. You lose your soul and you lose your life and you leave everything behind anyway. So we are forewarned that we are to surrender every gift of life to the service of the Most High God. And trust me, when you really yield to the Holy Spirit to use your gifts, you will not need, you are not going to be dependent on anything. You're not going to be worried whether you have a little home or a mansion. You're going to be very content and happy. Your life will be fulfilled. You know, as a matter of fact, many people will know your name and you don't know them. And just an example, some of you were walking with me when we were taking the ladies home. And people holler my name, "Hey, Abe!" And I wave back. I don't know them. Maybe I did once upon a time. It's not that I am looking for fame and for people to call me everywhere I go. Unimportant. But it's good to know that we are being watched and our lives are influencing other human beings. Are we influencing them heaven's way? Let us look at the Bible and let us begin to read from verse 1. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart today in a very personal way. Dr. Luke wrote, who was a companion of the Apostle Paul, went with the Apostle Paul in many of his trips and cared for his physical needs. He was his personal physician, and he does write a physician. The Gospel of Luke is wonderful, like the other Gospels. But every Gospel is different, written for different kind of people.
That's right.
Carries different powers and different messages in it. So I encourage you, if you want to begin to read the Bible, go ahead and get acquainted of how the Holy Spirit worked in and through the life of Dr. Luke in the Gospel of Luke. Then you can read Acts of the Holy Spirit or Acts of the Apostles. Why it is shouldn't be the Acts of the Apostles? Because at least we know there were 12 apostles, right?
Yes.
We also know there were 70 more apostles elected. So that is 82 apostles. But when we read the book of Acts, there's only 3 apostles that their names are mentioned with action. It is Peter, it is Paul, and it is Stephen. 3 of them. So, I prefer that the title should have been Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because we have seen in the book of Acts how God used the consecrated few to move the church from Jerusalem all the way to Rome and to build great churches covering millions of people, even to Alexandria, Egypt, to Antioch, to all the place through few dedicated men and women. So let us read together. The Apostle Luke wrote, "The former treatise have I made." That is the former book, the book of Luke. "The former book have I made, O Theophilus," the same man he is addressing in the book of Luke. Theophilus was a new converted Gentile, and he was a noble. He was also perhaps a high official in Rome who had been converted, and now Luke is educating him and giving him the knowledge that he does not possess as a new convert in Christ. So he's reminding him about the first book that he shared with him. And you can read his name also in Luke chapter 1. He said, "The former book have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And that is what you read in the Gospel of Luke. Such a powerful gospel. I love the Gospel of Luke. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, have given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." You read these very words in the last chapter of the book of Luke. He said he's reminding him now. This is a second continuation now.
from the first book that I have written unto you before, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Such a wonderful thing. Such a wonderful thing that Luke is reminding him of all of the wonderful miracles and all of the wonderful teachings that Jesus has given his disciples and others in the Gospel of Luke. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. And that is again in the last chapter of Luke. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait there, because I'm going to promise you something. Wait there and continue in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will descend upon you like never before. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he said, stay in Jerusalem, continue in prayer, and I'm going to give you the promise. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. John baptized you with water and to repentance. Now you're going to receive the mighty, powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. Something every Christian needs, and a gift afforded to all Christians. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Look at that. Here Jesus is ascending to heaven, and now he's telling them, stay in Jerusalem and pray. The Holy Spirit will come and guide you unto all truth and show you the way. He will give you power from on high. And even at this time, they had the wrong idea about his coming. He thought that at that time, after they go to Jerusalem and pray, and after the Holy Spirit comes, now Israel as a nation will be united under a king again like David. Perhaps at this time they thought that Jesus will be there now to be the king over Israel. They thought about it in a political sense. But listen to the answer that Jesus gave them. And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. He just told them that your mind is in the wrong place. Don't worry about how God is going to change the world. Don't worry about when will his kingdom come. Just be focused on the day. And yield yourself a living sacrifice to the work of the Holy Spirit. Something we are invited to do every day. But ye shall receive power, he told him on that day. That's what I want you to be concerned about. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All of the gifts that we have is to sanctify us and make us powerful instrument to become witnesses unto all others. Everywhere, not just in the church. That people would look at us and say, wow, you are such a gifted singer. You are such a gifted drummer. A musician. You are such a gifted speaker. How do you know all of this knowledge? Boy, you have such a wisdom. Where did you get it from? Oh, you look so young and healthy. How did that happen? Then we can declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So remember, whether you have the gift of sight, the gift of hearing, the gift of speaking, or the gift of walking and talking, the gift of singing or praying, the gift of knowledge of the Bible, the gift of music, all of this are, yes, for your immediate blessing. And it should bless your family as well. It should bless the Church of Christ through you. And it should bless everyone that meets you, whether in the workplace, in school, in your neighborhood, everywhere that you go. God said, and he will make you a blessing unto all nations. Is that something you desire? It's something I desire. Does God still, and can he still use me, who is a feeble, struggling sinner? to be a witness and a blessing unto all nations? The answer is affirmatively yes, if I surrender that struggling self to him every day. I will still be a blessing and never a curse. Okay? Look at all of these apostles. They were a human being like us. They had their own follies and failures and vices. But because when they yielded their heart and mind and soul to Jesus, we can only hear about the great many blessings they have been to God's people in the church and to everybody else that got to know them. That is the journey I would like to take. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 as well, and then I'm going to move on to the next verses. And when he had spoken the things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What a sight that must have been. You know, at that time, they were fully dependent upon Jesus. They were rejoicing that he was with them. He blessed them, their families. He showed them lots of signs and wonders and miracles. He was indeed the Son of God. They doubted. They denied him. They saw him being humiliated and helpless and powerless to defend himself. They saw him die on the cross like a thief. They saw him being buried, and now he is resurrected. And now all of their hopes are renewed. And suddenly, after a few days, he is leaving up to glory. And the Bible is saying that suddenly, when he is talking to them, telling them about these wonderful things, and telling them about the promise of the Holy Spirit, he began to be lifted up off the ground. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Imagine that.
Wow.
All of them are standing, gazing, and Jesus is being lifted up. I can't imagine their fear and their sorrow. Where are you going? Where are you going? They are marveling. They are amazed. They are stunned.
Right.
And yet they are sorrowing and fearful. What's going to happen to us?
Mm-hmm.
And while they are watching Jesus being ascending to heaven, listen to this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two angels. Which also said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So after this scene, can you imagine what they were talking about?
Yeah.
They went all the way to return back to Jerusalem. And they began to assemble together. And you can read that in the following passages. And they began to come together, the men, the women, and the children, all together. And the Bible said they went to the upper room, and there were 120 people.
Wow.
I'm very grateful. It was not just the apostles. Men, women, and children. What were they doing there? They were doing what Jesus said.
Right.
Stay in the upper room and pray. Turn your heart and mind and soul to Jesus. There is power in prayer, and there is no other power found on earth to grant us the power of the Spirit but prayer. As the apostle said, all gifts will cease someday. But there is one gift that will remain forever. That is the gift of God's love in you. You know, Fanny Crosby was a gifted musician and writer, but she lost her gift of sight. She lost her gift of sight at the age of 8. And you think that her spiritual gift will end. No. It was just the beginning of great powers to come upon her.
Blessed assurance.
She struggled during this time, she said, and she went into worldly music.
Uh-oh.
Yes. She was telling the story. And said while she was in doing some worldly music,
uh-oh,
the Holy Spirit came upon her and redirected her. And while she is blind, she wrote 7,000 hymns. All denominations of Christianity have many of their hymns in their own hymnal. Blinded, yet not confounded. The power of the Holy Spirit is within, and God's strength is always made perfect in human weakness. Her life and her ministry in song have reached the hearts of millions of Christians. Up until now, more than the best preachers and evangelists of the time. In her life and in her death, every sermon God has given her in him is still preached today in great many sanctuaries in the denomination across the world. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That gift of the Spirit never dies. It never dies. So here the apostles are gathering together. So let's see what happened here in chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Can you imagine this? Before they were fighting about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. My gifts, and maybe I came first to Jesus and I have all of these gifts and I have those knowledge. I think I should be higher in the kingdom of God. All of this gone. Gone. They were praying and they recognized that all of them were loved by Jesus. It was not just beloved John. That all of them were about to receive the gifts of the Spirit, and that all of them are sinners and erred in one way or another toward Christ and toward one another. And they were praying and confessing their sins and asking the forgiveness of one another. So at that time, on the 50th day, all of them were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let us stop for a second here, because some believers in Jesus believe that unless you speak in a very weird language, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. And many people worship under this condition today, that they lay the hand on people and they began to speak. Neither they understand what they are saying, nor anybody else understand what they are saying. But they say they feel good. And I have attended some of those churches. This is not the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are talking here about cloven tongues. The disciples were Galileans. They did not speak Egyptian. Okay, they only spoke Aramaic. They did not speak the language of Rome or of Antioch or of one of all of these people. All of these nations had their own tongue. But listen, they were given the gift of tongues. That is the gift of languages in which I am exercising one today. I was born to speak Arabic. I learned everything in Arabic. Everything about Jesus in Arabic. I went to school that taught me Arabic. I communicated in Arabic. But in the process of growth, it was God's intent to give me that gift of tongue, and I never knew I'm going to be in America someday preaching the gospel. Never. Slowly but surely, in his time, God gave me the gift of tongues.
Wow.
For one purpose. To be a witness unto him. Unto all nations wherever he sends me. So if you went to school and God gave you the ability to learn Spanish or German, whatever language, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, It was not designed for you to use that gift so you can make money. Money is going to come. Your needs will be met. Because many people said, oh, I want to learn a second language so I can get a better job. The gift is given to you so you can use the tongue to communicate to greater number of people, to be blessed by their life and to be blessed by Jesus in your life, so you can touch their lives and witness the glories of God work in them and in you. What a joy that is. What a joy that is. And this is what the Bible is going to tell us right now. They have received cloven tongues like fire when the mighty rushing wind came upon them. I tell you, there must have been some shaking in that room.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Was fire in their mouth literally fire?
No.
Okay.
But they have felt that change.
Oh.
Do you know what happened? We just saw that on the news when a tornado came.
Oh, yeah.
And they said 170 miles an hour.
Ooh, that's more than that.
Some people could not even withstand. They died. Homes could not stand. They perished. So when a mighty rushing wind come upon you, you will feel it. When my mother came to America years ago, we took her up to Washington to see Multnomah Falls. And the weather was freezing. You can see icicles hanging down the tree. And we took her top of a high hill. We could not open the door of the car. The wind was so strong. I would try to go out and I am pushed all the way back in. I tried to get my mom out to have the experience. And as I pulled her out, her scarf and everything was flying. She couldn't stand there for a few seconds. When a mighty rushing wind come down, everyone felt it. As to like fire, of course, think of that. I went to school and I really studied English. You know that twist of the tongue? What you have to go through to really twist your tongue and begin to speak a complete different language?
Wow.
The tongue have muscles. And your cords go with how you speak.
That's true.
So if you turn your tongue in a certain way, the muscles that you haven't used and trained will feel it. It's like today, if we give you a word that have Khulal. You will never be able to say Khulal.
No,
you will all say Khulal. So they felt a complete change in their body. Now that they are speaking a language they got never used to speak. Whether it was fire or not, trust me, it took me a long time to be able to speak. But if they could speak a language like that, they felt it. They felt it. So what were these languages? Let us continue to read. Verse 4 again, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Look at that. Different countries were presented there. Now when this was noised abroad, and multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own, what?
Language.
It was not gibberish. It was not words that no one understood. It was not just a word that gave us good feelings. And that is what some people believe. That is not the gift of tongues. This is the gift of tongues. The gift of a language to minister grace and salvation unto the hearer. They came from every nation and everyone heard him speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? Did you hear that?
I have a question for you.
Go ahead and ask.
I know. Isn't it a double gift? You're learning how to speak English, but Janet and Andrew is learning how to hear English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great gift. God is able to communicate that to the heart because of his message. It's amazing.
Yes.
You know, I heard many stories about missionaries who went to another country who could not speak their language. They actually spoke in English. Mm-hmm. But the people understood every word.
Wow.
Many incidents, not just one or two. They spoke in English and they know they spoke in English. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit translated everything to their understanding. And an interpreter came and said, "Do you know the people understood everything you say?" And he repeated what the preacher said. God is in the business of saving souls, and he is a God of signs and wonders and miracles. For this congregation, they needed to see that their God is a God of miracles. If they don't speak English, yet they can't understand English, it's a miracle.
Right.
And God used that for them to believe that this messenger is his messenger. The disciples felt and knew it was the promise of Jesus being fulfilled because they were jolted by a mighty rushing wind and now they are speaking with tongues that is not their own. Wow, that gave them such boldness and assurance that now they are his under his complete control. And that is what we ought to feel every morning. So in verse 8, "And now hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born." And look at all of this nationalities there. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of the Mesopotamia and in Judea. Look at all of this. Asia, Libya, Egypt, Rome, Arabia. All of these people came to hear the message of God in their own tongue. Remember, I went through all of the gifts of the Spirit. I told you what is the purpose of them. Remember that? What gifts and what purpose? For the edification of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, that we may all grow unto him in all things Christ Jesus. Now, another gift is going to be developed. Here is the gift of tongue. Remember Peter? Peter, who was timid, who was impulsive, who denied Jesus, who was scared to death that he may be harmed by a slave and a servant, who denied and said, "I never knew him." Watch it now, Peter. Watch Peter when he received the Holy Ghost and when he received the gift of tongue. It was Peter who began his first sermon. He was the most and the first preacher of all time. A Galilean, a fisherman who did not go to the seminary, did not have any earthly education beside that which was given to him by Jesus. And that is something different between the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of the world. Everything in the world you have to earn. I have to go to school and get this and get this and get this and get that in order to receive something in return. The Holy Spirit is not that way. So Peter stands to preach the gospel. I want to look at verse 14 quickly, but Peter, standing, the other people said, "They must be drunk." Uh-huh. You know, they must be drunk. And
they
Peter,
were very happy, I think.
You know, imagine, Peter now is speaking Arabic. He understands it, the people understand it, and he doesn't know how he's speaking Arabic. Of course, came other people, and this is what's really interesting. The people who complained and said they must be drunk. You know, when people drink and get drunk, they act silly, don't they? And they say things when they wake up in the morning, they don't remember they ever said.
That's true. That's scary.
So, some of those who came were not converted, did not want to be converted, and refused the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And they began to tell others they are drunk because they are speaking language that's not their own.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter told them, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." He said, they are not drunk. They are not crazy. Listen, guys, they just woke up. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, they're not drunk. But now he's telling them what is happening to these people. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you can read this prophecy, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass, and because this prophecy is supposed to take place again at the end of times in which we're living in. Okay? As it happened in the day of Pentecost, prophecy tells us it will take place again in the last days. And here's what the prophet Joel said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my maid servants, I will pour out on these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Now, if you looked at the signs of the moon and the stars and the signs at sea and everything, you will see that these things have been happening in the last 10 years. Fires and vapors in the air. You know, I saw a clip on YouTube about the clouds that attack Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
you know, someone videoed it. You think that the sand is yellow. For some reason it started yellow and it turns like dark clouds at noontime.
Wow.
You could not walk. You could not see anything in front of you. And what do you think the color of the moon was after that?
Was it red?
Very red. Sign at sea, pollutions, and everything is happening, tornadoes, everything is happening exactly like Jesus said it will happen in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. But in that same time, God will have his own people who will be protected by the blood of the Lamb, who will be very much empowered and fueled by the Holy Spirit as they surrender their heart and mind and soul daily to the work of the Holy Spirit in them. They will be protected and blessed, and God will use them as witnesses unto all others. And so Peter gave his first sermon. And let us go quickly to verse 34 or 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Remember, Peter was scared to death before. Now he is completely empowered, bold, fearless. Now he knows he is under the control of God and heaven is his home. Now he knows that he is an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing on this earth will ever scare him. Now he's telling them the good news. Remember that Jesus whom you said, crucify, crucify, whom you hit and humiliated and spat upon, whom you put the thorns in his brow, whom you killed, and God rose again. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Fearless. Powerful. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do then? Their hearts was changed. Because God's children humbled themselves and yielded to the Holy Spirit, who used them to bring salvation to these others. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember when I began the series, I began it with the birth of Jesus. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from his sin. And Jesus said, unless a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The disciples believed, the disciples obeyed, the disciples yielded their own soul. Now they have received the promise of the Spirit of God, and now they are passing the same message to all those who will receive it. He said, repent. Recognize that you are a sinner and need a Savior. Be baptized. This means be cleansed from your own sins through the love and grace and mercy of Jesus, who have paid the price for and complete. And said, when you do that, you will also receive the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Spirit. That's why Jesus told them, freely you receive, freely you give. What a joy. Life is worth a living when you share the love of God and the gifts of God with others. That is really the purpose of our existence. All of the blessings of life lie within the experience of God's love for us, and within the experience of expressing that love to somebody else. And then Peter continued, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look at that. God will call everybody to receive the same gift of salvation and the gifts of the Spirit. But as the Bible said, and as Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because the rest are frozen. Those who are not chosen are frozen. They don't want to be
frozen.
And it's unfortunate that many of these are in that church of Christ. A preacher once called them the frozen chosen. They are just there. Paul called them pew warmers. They come into the church and they leave the church untouched, unchanged. Just to go to live their own life. It's all about them. It's not about Christ in them. It's not about the love of God and the love of others. It's all about them. I was very thankful that God never gave up on his people. Last Monday when I was in the hospital, I ran into a patient who had a serious brain injury, and they drained things of her brain. And when I walked in, there was a sign on her door saying, immediate family only. And being privileged to be a member of the medical institution, I just walked in very carefully, introduced myself. She had a Bible and a devotional on the desk, and she was sitting behind it. Makes me happy when I go to the critical care units and people are sitting up and conscious. After I introduced myself, she was very welcoming and thankful that a pastor came to see her. He said, I'm very thankful you came in because I really have a question that has been bothering me. She's been reading the Bible. She goes to a church in Dublin. She's been going to church for many years. He said, you know, Pastor, all of these years of my life, especially when I was going to church, she's 75 years old. I was self-absorbed. That's her words. I was self-absorbed and I was praying to the Lord Jesus to do something. This is not the life that I really want to live. And she nodded her head, and he surely did. He got my attention to show me what life is all about. You know, it's always hard for me to hear that. God does not hurt us to get our attention. It's our choices that we have been making throughout the years. It catches up with us eventually. And it's at that time that God calls our names. I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Yes.
I have thoughts of peace of you to prosper you. Just come unto me at this time, and the Lord will always send us a messenger. Always will reveal himself to us in that very moment of decision. And she nodded her head, and I shared with her some words of encouragement that Moses began his ministry at the age of 80. Say, so you're 75. You started a little bit earlier. And I showed her how God will use now her life past and her life present in a very spiritual, mighty way to touch the lives of many. And we prayed for that together. Her tears were coming like fountains of living water. And she said, Pastor, I don't know why my pastor and none of the members of the church came to see me. And I said, you know, maybe your pastor does not know that you're here. And she said, that is possible. My daughter is not a believer. And she does not want anyone to come to see me. She did not know that her daughter is the one who put that note on the door. Why am I sharing this? Even if the powers of darkness will try to assail us, Jesus made a promise that I shall give you the power to tread over the serpent and the scorpion and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall anywise harm you. And this is my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're in, you're safe. If you're in, you're safe. Peter is saying that. Come in and be safe. Come in and be saved. Come in and be blessed. Come in and be enriched by every gift of the Spirit that you lack and that you need today. The Lord is a loving God awaiting for all of his people to come in. But it is unfortunate that Jesus said, many will come unto me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, we've been to the church. We spoke in your name. We have experienced wonders and miracles. And then they're going to hear the most unusual conclusion.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. You were so self-absorbed. You used my name to get your way. And your ways were not the ways of life and blessing. I really never got to know you. And the Bible said there will be weeping and gnashing of tears. But there will be those who really thought, very undeserving, very unworthy, sinners, God can never use them. They will hear the wonderful conclusion. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the little. I shall place you over the much. Enter ye into the joy of my Father. Humility is required for salvation. In conclusion, last two verses. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That is, crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Wow.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. What an evangelist without an earthly education.
Wow.
Did not go to the seminary,
right,
but went to the presence of God. Prayed. Peter never knew he would be a preacher.
From a fisherman.
Never knew he was going to be a preacher.
Wow.
Never knew he's going to have a gift of tongue.
No.
And never knew that he will be given the power to heal the sick and to raise the dead.
Wow. Yeah.
All what he's done, yield his heart and mind and soul, and said, Lord, if you really find anything worthy in me, a sinner, I yield my heart and mind and soul to you. I know I denied you. I know I still have problems with pride in my own nature. I know I am not fit and I don't have anything good to offer to anybody, but here I am. Send me. That is the attitude that we are all encouraged to have. Every human being is very significant to God. Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Christians, and atheists. The gift of God's love and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift of salvation is offered to all. But not all will receive it. Only those who believe and choose the love of the Lord Jesus shall be delivered. Shall we stand together in prayer? Lord, we give you our lives, past, present, and to come, just as we are. We know that as sinners, we're unfit and undeserving and unworthy and unqualified to do anything good. But you have been good. Your love has been deep and healing to us. Your words have been of great encouragement to us. We thank you for the gift and power of prayer. Only you is able to forgive us for every sin and trespass and to understand our needs and to love us just as we are and to accept us just as we are and to help us to change from the inside out. And as you have given us great many gifts, we praise your holy name. Please, Lord, help us never to be a curse or a stumbling to us all. But may your Holy Spirit alone make us heavenly blessings of righteousness to some or to many. Secure our own salvation and life eternal. Work your own blessed goodwill and pleasure in us. And may your divine power and strength by the Holy Spirit be made perfect in our every human weakness. As you help us journey on all the days of our life on earth. And until our names are written in the book of life eternal, in Jesus' name, amen.